I'm back real quick before I get out the station here real quick. I just want to say something. Everybody is human. And let me make this very clear for my listeners. I would never put anybody here in jeopardy. I make mistakes just like everybody else. I don't expect to be reprimanded by somebody. I have no clue who you are. And for you to call and put me out there like that, that is unacceptable. And I don't appreciate it when I have greatly apologized for saying that word, not even the full word, but I said it and I took responsibility. So I have to say, I would not be me if I did not say shame on you for not accepting my apology and telling me what you said to me on air. Have a wonderful evening. Bye.
And you're listening to your community radio station. This is KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock, and next is Keeping It Real. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Moms Demand Action Northeast Portland Remembrance Vigil on December 10th at 4 p.m. at the Montevilla Community Center in Portland. December 11th marks 5 years since the Clackamas Town Center shootings, in which 2 people were killed and hundreds physically or psychologically affected. In the years since, 500,000 Americans have been killed or injured by guns. On December 10th, there will be a remembrance featuring a musical performance by a member of the Portland Cello Project, a reading of names of those killed by guns in Oregon in the past 25 years, and words of comfort and encouragement in the face of grief. Again, that's the Moms Demand Action Northeast Portland Remembrance Vigil on December 10th at 4 p.m. at the Montevilla Community Center, 8219 Northeast Gleason Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Ride Around Portland Book Release and Public Reading on Thursday, December 7th at 6:30 p.m. at the Beaverton Round Executive Suites in Beaverton. Know These is the 53rd collection of community writing. This reading will feature work written by participants in the fall 2017 writing workshops, including long-term HIV survivors, middle school students, young adults in a job training program, and many others. Again, that's Ride Around Portland Book Release and Public Reading on Thursday, December 7th at 6:30 p.m. at the Beaverton Round Executive Suites, 12725 Southwest Milliken Way in Beaverton. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Of the street with each step, walking closer to my final destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, heals the pain in my chest. Take 6 quarters out of the pocket and drop it in the box. Hop the 48 off to pay homage. It stops often. I jot my observations, watching citizens walking off at a Joe Metropolitan. Yeah. Proletarians and wayward sons with old Filipino men speaking in their native tongue. And the day has just begun, greeted by the scent of a bum, smelling something like beer, barf, and dung. A brother in Jabot's in the
the back, all alone, marinating in a pair of half-broken headphones, mumbling rhymes, same time begin to pen mine, appreciating God's design. Rewind, sister, reminds me of a smile in the back of my memory. Wonder if I see her again, will she remember me? I'm not trying to holler, I swear, I'm just weary of the way we hop a ride and just sit there and stare. Prepare for my 9 o'clock work meeting, a couple pale folks slide right by with no greeting, but the people with my phenotype follow with a head nod up, cause we acknowledge that the shit fucked up. North of Martin Luther King.
What's going on, Portland? We back again for another episode of Keeping It Real. This your boy Aron
and Nick Deasy,
and we got some special guests with us in the studio today.
Yes, sir.
Who's speaking right now?
That's Sean Lamont.
Yeah, what's up, Sean?
How you doing? What's good? What's good?
We also got another guest here who's kind of a little bit shy. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
What's up, Jenny?
So Hi. We're going to have the feminine perspective today.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, we got a couple of things lined up for y'all today. You know, we got our special guest, Sean Lamont, a great friend of mine, and an artist, a local artist from Portland. Sean, what's going on, man? How you been?
I've been good, man. Just grinding, you know, yeah. trying to get it all done in one day.
Hey, that's a hard task, man. It's a little bit longer than the day.
That's impossible.
Man. Nick Dizzy, what's going on with you, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, bro. I've been working.
Yeah. What's new with you? It's been like forever since we talked last. How long has it been? It's been a week.
it has been a week. Yeah, I forgot about that. I mean, everything's the same. Just trying to work, make money.
Yeah, you got that adult life now, huh?
Man, it's
Nick
horrible.
Got his 9 to 5 now. That's it.
That's that real deal.
8 to 5:30.
8 to 5:30. Oh, I'm sorry.
8 to 5:30, man.
Got the extra hour over there. So what is that? What is that doing
that's
to your perspective
extra
now,
hour
man?
And a half for being technical.
Oh, sorry. what is that doing to your perspective, though?
It sucks. I want to go back to high school.
You do? So yeah, all these days I've been chasing around the school telling you to do your work and study and do your homework. You want to get back to that?
Yeah. I want to come back to getting beat up by Kiki and High and told what to do by Aron.
That's right.
I mean, high school, like, of course I wanted out and to get to the money, but if I can go back, I would be there another year or two.
Mm-hmm.
If I could redo all the high school that I did, I would.
That's good, man.
That's a public service announcement to all you high school students. Once you graduate, you're going to want to come back.
Right. Everyone was like, you're going to want to go back. No, don't be so excited to get out of high school.
And I like, told you that like
100 times. I was like, bro, mm-hmm. I was like, bro, shut up. I don't care what you're saying. And then like a week after graduation, I was like, oh, this sucks. This is horrible.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's always hard, man. Life changes drastically. Can y'all think back to y'all high school days?
Yeah, of course.
What was that like leaving high school?
For me, uh-huh. leaving high school was bittersweet, but not as bittersweet as Nick's experience. For me, a lot of the cats that I went to high school with, mm-hmm. Kind of all ended up in the same area as far as college goes. So, mm-hmm. I went to Texas Southern University for a year. And got to reconnect with a lot of people from high school, so it wasn't as bad. It felt like another Portland.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Man, what school did you graduate from, if you don't mind me asking?
For our high school?
Yeah.
Benson High School, Techman.
You went to
class of 2003, you feel me?
Yeah.
03.
I'm 07, you know, that's the best class.
06.
Oh, my gosh. Nick, we sound like fossils to Nick. Nick is over here like, what? It's been that long.
Put a number in front of that.
2017 was the last good class.
Goodness gracious. That's 10 years after me.
You know math.
I do know math. Mr. Technical. Don't dab me too. What about you, Jenny? What was that like for you?
High school?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed my high school experience. I do wish that I had taken a year off between high school and college, though.
Why is that?
I went into college not knowing what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. and I feel like if I had given myself the freedom to get a little perspective and time under my belt, I would have had a better idea or more confidence in what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm. I like the fact that I took some time off after high school.
How much time did you take off?
Ooh-wee. Okay, so let me explain that a little bit better.
So I knew that was a loaded statement.
So after high school, I went to community college for 2 years. The first year, I don't know what I was doing. Because, you know, it's like, technically, it's like going to college and you have all this extra time and you don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So technically, I counted that as a year off because I was just coasting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got serious because I figured I don't want to go to college and I was already thinking about doing some things, you know, to change
okay.
the lane I was in. And so it was pretty cool, though. I think I got a lot of good experiences in the That's community college up. Before I got to the 4 year. Go to community college, Nick. Save a lot of money.
No, man.
I'm dropping gold right now. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
I decided that in June I'm going to college.
Good.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. I keep getting these calls because I was going to go into college straight out of high school. I was going to go to I wanted to go to, what is it, Champions, the barber school.
Yeah, the barber school.
Yeah, I actually know the owner of Champions Barber Institute.
That's Kiki's cousin.
Oh, that's what's up. School,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't, you know, I still in the options, but right. I'm getting calls from, like, Fagans and some others I'm considering. I just don't know which one yet, but, like, my grandpa told me, make some money, take a year off, enjoy yourself. Because it's going to be too much to go right back into it.
Yeah.
And so I figured I'm not going to want to do it after a year, but it's like in June, it's going to be the time. I'm going to go back and I'm going to get a fresh phase.
Hey, you could practice on me. That way, by the time you get good, get free haircuts. Mm-hmm. See, I think ahead. I believe in you, of course.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about Champions Barbering Institute is they are the only institution in Portland that actually focuses on the craft of barbering. So, that's their primary focus. So, that would definitely be something good to explore and look into.
Yeah, and this is no promotion or nothing either. We're just, you know, stating what we know.
Exactly.
Just so you guys know.
Yeah, practice your taper and your fading skills. Man. Those are what I need here.
I've been doing that.
Oh, okay. I'm going to put you to the test.
I've been trying.
My hair is looking a mess.
I got your hair that one time when you was going to a wedding.
You lined me up that one time.
And I was clean, though.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh, he got
like
you right
a million
for a
bucks. Oh, he got me right.
Oh, then you money then.
He already got I'm telling you, he got the raw skills.
You good money then.
He needs a Yoda to refine it.
Somebody that's gonna talk backwards and riddles.
Talk backwards. I already speak that way just because English ain't my first language to him, but we working on him.
For sure.
He'll get there.
You're a fool.
So back to you, Sean. So let's talk about your journey a little bit. You say you went to Benson.
Yep.
We beat them in track every year. Just so you know. That's just middle school, though. I don't know how they high school track
is. So we just gonna start by flexing, huh?
No, not at all. Okay. I just wanted to put that out. But you know, I see your energy around people and around the youth, and man, like it's very refreshing.
I appreciate that.
So we gonna talk about our history a little bit.
Okay.
Sean and I got to go to St. Louis together for a week, and we went there for a conference to learn about this idea of big picture learning, which is like project-based learning. Basically, imagine your kid learning skills at school by doing, like practicing the skills that they need at a workplace. So while we was out there, first of all, what was your favorite part about St. Louis before we even get deep?
My favorite part about St. Louis, well, this is going to sound really corny, but honestly was spending time with my coworkers. So spending time with you and everybody else, like that was really, really cool because I feel like we got a chance to build a bond together that we wouldn't have been able to have, you know, in Portland.
Right.
Like just going away with a group of people for a couple of days gives you a chance to kind of really lock in.
Right.
So that definitely was like the dopest part. But then in addition to that, I think the food, man, like...
Oh, my God.
We had some really good
food.
A lot of good food out there.
I'm still dreaming about that brisket we had. Oh, my God. So as soon as we got there...
Sugar
tell fire. Them what we did as soon as we got...
Sugar
like,
fire.
As soon as we got there, we like, went to
point
sugar
us
fire.
To the barbecue. Point us to the barbecue immediately.
Yeah, Nick,
went to this place called Sugar Fire. It's so good.
It was.
I went
bomb.
Back the next day and ordered the same thing I just ordered the night before.
We all had like food comas. Like we weren't ready to go back to that meeting.
Mm-mm. And the conference food was lit too, though.
Like, it was.
All the conference food that they served us was
catered.
Was legit.
Aron,
super legit.
Aron, I called Aron a few times to ask what was going on out there and what the females was like and everything. I'm gonna be honest. he was just like, bro, the food.
The food.
Come get some food. Yeah. He was like. He sent me a couple pictures And then he sent actually a picture of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys were in front of some
the
building.
We
were in front of the St. Louis Arc or Arch, however you know, your preference.
What is
that.
It called? Is it in English?
Is it Arch? Or
Arch?
It's Arch. Arch.
Man, it don't matter. The food sounded good.
The food was heavenly.
Aaron just kept talking about the food.
My God! I think I gained a pound, and y'all know how hard it is for me to gain a pound.
Bro, we were struggling because me, him, and Holly all had like workout regimens. So he's like, every time we be sitting there eating, like, man, I got goals. And so we went to the gym probably I went twice. The whole trip, and we tried to go like every day.
We tried to go every day, but it was a good time.
Yeah,
now,
definitely.
Talk about the time we went. We already laughing because. So for those of y'all who don't know, both Sean and I have seen certain things growing up, and we kind of know better than to go to certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the history. And what ended up happening that week
as Aaron said, him and I both have what you would consider to be hood sensibilities, okay? And so what that means is that when you go to a new city that you are not familiar with, there are certain places that you don't go to if you don't have, you know, what would be considered a guide or a hood pass.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of our coworkers decided that he wanted to go into one of the neighborhoods that you don't go into without a guide or a hood pass, and he felt as though he should drag us all along. And so because we were bonding and we were spending time together, my hood sensibilities were like there, but then they were kind of like non-existent at the same time. Like, no, I don't want my hood sensibilities to stand in the way of us spending time together, so I'm gonna just kind of put that in my pocket, you know what I'm saying, like chill. But the closer and closer we got to this neighborhood, I'm like, bruh, I don't think this is a good idea. So I'm like telling them, like, yo, take your jewelry off, please.
Put
your jewelry in your purses, in your pockets. Take off them name tags. We don't want to look like
we're
foreigners.
Don't
talk to nobody. Don't make eye contact with anybody. Like, just chill. Then we got down there, and like my hood sensibility was just like, Deshaun, what are you doing?
Yes.
What were you thinking following this person into this neighborhood?
Man, it got quiet. Dark.
Mm-hmm. And it was at nighttime too.
Mm-mm. And it was like, man, we was looking at this, like, that train ride, like, ooh, if we could just make it back home safe.
Bruh. I literally called my brother. I called one of my brothers. I called one of our other coworkers who decided not to go. His hood sensibilities was on 10. So he was like, I'm cool. He said, my feet hurt. I'm going to go back to the hotel.
Smart.
I was
move.
Like, bruh. I said, I'm calling you right now. I'm telling you where I'm at right now.
Just in case
something happens to me, you can tell my mama what happened to me in St. Louis, because I did not pay attention to my
who the cause of that was.
And who the person was who perpetrated the fraud.
Let's talk about the trip to get some chop suey, man. We were on a mission to get some chop suey while we were out there.
So we had it on good authority that, you know, when you go to St. Louis, one of the things that you must have is what they call chop suey. Mm-hmm. So it's like hole-in-the-wall Chinese food. Like, it's supposed to be the best thing in the world. You can only get it in certain places in St. Louis. So we went to a place that was supposed to be like one of the good places.
Mm-hmm.
We got there. It ended up being like closed down. And so then our Uber driver like took us to another place, like dropped us off just somewhere random, which was actually in the hood that we were trying not to go to. It was daytime, and somebody from St. Louis actually told us to go to that neighborhood, so I was more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
We get there. We like, man, we about to order some food, about to get this chop suey. None of us had cash.
And it was like literally hole in the wall.
That's literally the most millennial thing you can do is go to a hood in a random city and not have cash.
You got Apple Pay?
Do you take MasterCard? No, we only take cash. And we went up in the joint. It literally had like bars and like glass between you and the person you was ordering food from and everything. Like, you could tell they got robbed a few times.
You know, the little plate, the spinning plate, mm-hmm. that kind of like.
Yeah, like you put it through.
It's like a little window.
Yeah.
And then
a
plate inside of it. So like you put something and you spin it to get it to the other side. So like it wasn't even like hand to hand.
Yep.
I was like, man, this place must have been robbed so many times.
It's crazy.
Locked dead bolts.
And so then we couldn't get chop suey there, so we're like, man, okay, just forget it. Like, let's just go to another like soul food restaurant that we knew that was popular in St. Louis. So we start driving down there, kind of find out that place was like moved or like closed as well. So then so long story short, the good thing that came out of it was our Uber driver was from the city, and so he gave us like a tour of St. Louis, mm-hmm. from where he picked us up at to the same neighborhood where the soul food restaurant was supposed to be, uh-huh. and then all the way back to the hotel. Like, he was just telling us different things that had taken place in the city, just showing us like different little monuments and whatnot. So it was really cool.
It was a cool trip, man.
We didn't get no food, but we definitely got a tour of St. Louis.
And he said we had no business being in that.
Yeah, he's like, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing over here?
That was the funny part for me. So we're going to switch lanes a little bit. Okay. Wild Delphine is getting the song Dreams. Am I right?
Yes.
Dreams. Wild Delphine is getting that cued. We'll talk a little bit about that song, and let's talk about your musical journey.
Okay.
How did you start?
Okay, so I started rapping at the age of 8. And this is going to sound weird, but the first rap that I recorded was on a boombox that my dad had bought me for my fifth grade promotion. Mm-hmm. So I figured out that if you put a tape in one side and then press like play and record, you can actually record vocals through the speaker on the other side. Uh-huh. So I figured out how to do that. Started recording raps at 8. And honestly, it just was a way for me to kind of like release, to be creative for one, but to also to kind of like release and deal with my own emotions and the things that I was going through, things that I was seeing in my experience and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of grew and grew and grew. And I got really serious with music around high school. Had a pretty good run, I guess you would say, as far as like locally and regionally and a little bit nationally at one point, mm-hmm. and then kind of like stepped away from music for a while, and now I'm kind of just getting back into it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that song Dreams, and then we're gonna play it.
Okay.
What inspired it?
Okay, so Dreams is inspired by a season of my life where I came to the conclusion that the place where I'm most fragile is in relationships, mm-hmm. and part of that is because of some childhood trauma around abandonment. And so I went through a season in my life where it felt like all the relationships that were close to me were like being snatched away from me. Mm-hmm. And so my initial response was like frustration, anger, like, why is this person walking out of my life? Why are they treating me this way? And in that too, there were some things that were going on relationally that weren't okay on the other side of those relationships too. Mm-hmm. So like there was the combination of those two things happening at the same time. And so I started writing about it. And then eventually I got to the point where I realized that part of the issue here is I need to deal with my abandonment for one, mm-hmm. and then other part of the issue is I'm not extending grace to people who are human and who are flawed and who I love, and not trying to make relationships right, even though those relationships are kind of falling out of whack, mm-hmm. and so the song kind of came together from those two competing views. Like, on one hand, I'm talking about the frustration and the hurt and the pain of it all, mm-hmm. but then on the other hand, I'm like, but to have this dream that relationships, you know, in this broken world with broken people will be perfect is kind of like a bad dream to have, you know. It's far better to see relationships through the lens of there's always grace for forgiveness, there's always grace for reconciliation, there's always grace to, you know, make right what's been wrong, you know, right. to the best of your ability. So that's kind of what the song is all about.
That's tight. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we're going to play the song, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more about the song once
that's
we hear it.
That's what's up. Let's go.
All right.
I was trying to keep the dream. Keep the dream alive. I was just trying to keep the dream. Keep the dream alive. I think we all just trying to keep the dream. Keep the dream alive. But the truth is love changes, trust changes. And even good friends become strangers. Pitter patter, run tell that like a Martin special. Speech chitter chatter, you smell that like a Marlin special. It's fishy, and the market on the fence that I discern was never even worth the value of a genuine concern. So I ain't been around fish, sharks, but really clownfish. I've been solo in oceans so deep, they would drown fish. Them rounds hit, and that's why the friction lingers. Hands I used to pound with, hold trigger fingers, it sounds sick. Sick as a diagnosis, a rare condition. The blind side impaired vision, I swear it's all politics. Meddling in my freedom like a chisel, yeah. Holla at me when that Jim Carrey's missing. But don't insult my intelligence, cause I won't mistake your ignorance for eloquence. It used to be deeper than blood relatives, but now it's all relative, cause I was trying to keep the dream.
Keep the dream alive. Keep the dream alive.
I was just trying to keep the dream.
Keep the dream alive. Keep the dream alive.
I think we all just trying to keep the dream. But the truth is love changes, trust changes, and even good friends become strangers. Man,
What happened to real connections? Cold world, I see life through a chill perspective. Many messages sent, filled with requests. I see the message that's sent and I'm real receptive. Yeah, and I used to try to preface every action with excuse. I'm slowly learning acceptance. Path destined, heel to that lonely road. Even though the cloth, it feels like a lowly road. Lonely lows, I promise I know my role. But even Martin never rode without Tommy or Cody Cole. So what's up? Somebody tell me what's up. Fill me in, help me learn to adjust. Who can I trust? Abandonment in my blood. I'm looking around like what happened to us? Like what happened to the love? What happened to the trust? What happened to us? They say heavy is the head. Heavy is the head. Well, my crown lean a little. My scepter in the ledge. Cause I thought I ran with kings when no jesters rid the heads. And I thought we gave our life and only death could end the pledge. But see the dream in and of itself and its broken and fallen world is unrealistic. But that's the beauty of the gospel, because there's hope and grace, forgiveness and repentance. I was trying to keep the drink. Yeah, I had to learn the hard way, man. I was just trying to keep the drink. Relationships in this life will never be perfect, you know. I think we all just trying to keep the dream. So the dream that relationships will be perfect is, but the truth kind of silly. Love changes, trust changes, and even good friends. But I was trying to keep the dream. Yeah. So go ahead and let that go, man. I was just trying to keep the dream. Reconcile with that brother or sister. I think we all let that grudge live in your heart. Yeah. But the truth is, love changes, trust changes, but we got the grace to go and change it. Keep the dream alive. Keep the dream alive.
Yeah, you heard it first. So you got your boy Sean Lamont. Real quick, I want to give Lanya and her daughter a shout out. I know they're listening to us right now.
Lanya and her daughter.
What up, Lanya and your daughter?
What's up, Lanya? Oh, go ahead then.
Hi, Lanya.
Lanya is a dope person, man. Opened a lot of doors for me.
Man, me too.
Yeah, she was your principal.
Yeah, you don't know how many times I heard Nikki D get to work. That's what I used to go by. So she'd always get me back on right track when she was the principal.
Mm-hmm. Takes a village. So Sean, man, that song was, I mean, full of themes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, one of the things that, you know, you talk about is the idea of abandonment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody who's 8 years old, who's already writing at mm-hmm. that level, to me that says that you put a lot of thought into just who you are, your life, things mm-hmm. that are happening to you, and you used a positive outlet.
Yeah.
Where it was in a place and a time where it was so easy to just find so many negative outlets.
Yep.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah.
So what did you do? Like, how did you navigate? And this is, I want you to think about those youth we serve, right?
Mm-hmm.
In case one of them is listening right now.
Right,
how did you navigate?
Well, it was a combination of things. I think at a young age, there were a lot of folks in my community who, you know, who reached out and were just positive influences in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a church a couple blocks from the house that I grew up in, and they kind of canvassed our neighborhood and began to do like youth groups. And there was a guy there named Chris Robertson, and I'll never forget, he was the first person to mentor me. He was the first African-American male that I saw who had a healthy marriage, who was a father. Who, you know, who would come and pick me up and take me to have dinner with his family, who would come pick me up and take me to play basketball, different things like that. And so it was relationships like that that kind of helped steer me in the right direction, just having folks who were willing to do, you know, kind of what we do now,
mm-hmm.
Just kind of enter into my life and show me a different path than what I was seeing. Because I grew up in a family where a lot of the folks that were, you know, quote unquote, my role models, my mentors, the folks who I looked up to, were not subscribing to life, you know, to mm-hmm. a life that was what we would consider to be healthy or positive. And so it was those examples and those folks who kind of stepped up, the Chris Robertsons, Andre Albertis, the Omari Joneses, you know, that stepped up into my life and kind of helped guide me and steer me toward the right direction. I mean, and honestly, too, along with that was just, you know, I found faith, and I found a faith community, you know, and yeah. those things really helped kind of rein me in and give me an alternative to what I was used to seeing and what I was used to experiencing. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And you also have another song, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's called Hoodie Mello.
Yes,
Hoodie Mello.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, Hoodie Mello is a reference to the athlete Carmelo Anthony, correct?
Yes.
What was that about?
Okay, so Hoodie Mello is, so for those who don't know what Hoodie Mello is, it's like it kind of started out as a joke or a meme, and then it went viral, and now, you know, you see Carmelo Anthony in a hoodie all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so to me, what it kind of represented was perseverance. So like, if you, you know, on 2K, if you play with Hoodie Mello, his rating is like 98. And that's above, you know, LeBron, that's above Steph Curry, that's above like the elite, the top of the top.
Right.
And so to me, you know, now he's in a new situation in OKC, having come off some pretty rough seasons in New York City.
Right.
And so in my mind, I put it all together and I'm like, well, Hoodie Mello, the sign of Carmelo Anthony in a hoodie, like amid the speculation, amid the, you know, all the things that were said negatively about him and his career, like you would see these videos pop up of him in the gym in that hoodie, like going hard, working.
Right.
And so to me, like that hoodie represents perseverance.
Right.
And so that's kind of where the song's inspiration comes from.
Okay. And I've heard the song before. I know Delphine is queuing it up right now. And so we're going to listen to it shortly. But I heard the song, man, and it was high energy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I love the beat. So we're going to play the song for you real quick. It's called Hoodie Mello by Sean Lamont.
Let's go.
On the board, yeah, the score should be settled. Lionheart, I roll with a bellow. Took some nicks, but I keep fighting hard. Golden with the effort, I should meddle. My wrist strong, ice stewing kettles. I pick bones, had a few to settle. Bedrocked on this truth, I'm settled. Flintstones to a fruity pebble. These Jordan 1s are like fruity pebbles. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Season was pressed, but I feel exceptional. Yes, I just been all in my cubicle. Working like I got maxed out. Working like I'm on the floor. I got a score. Arena is packed out. I can't get packed out. Fight to the death like this is my last bout. Playoffs, last round. I feel the pressure, but I will not back down. Till I lay my back down. When I'm down and out, I go up and in. I can't hear the crowd, I'm above the rim. I just drown them out, get another win. I just drown them out, get another win. Hoodie Mello, on my Hoodie Mello. New season with the Trey, Hoodie Mello. Black hoodie with the J's, Hoodie Mello. Thunder make me dance in rain, Hoodie Mello. Hoodie Mello, on my Hoodie Mello. Hoodie Mello, on my Hoodie Mello. New season with the Trey, Hoodie Mello. Thunder make me dance in rain, Hoodie Mello. Yeah, Hoodie Mello, the precious cane and metal. 98 rating, let the speculation echo. Shout out to my coach, he's the reason why I boast. He pulled the strings that made me free. Y'all should meet your pedal. Pinocchios keep poking nose, me I keep my schedule. Hoodie jersey, open court, I'm on my Carmelo. Opinions tried in open court, now they tryna settle. Cause I'm cooler than the ocean port, roaring like a kettle. They can't say this Lucas Warren. The force is in the pestle. Boy, I'm moving in these Jordans and these feet are something special. That first step was the first test. Almost left me distance wet. But when I face attempts at death, I'm left with a nit at best. When I'm down and out, I go up and in. I can't hear the crowd, I'm above the rim. I just drown them out, get another win. I just drown them out, get another win. Hoodie Mello, on my Hoodie Mello. New season with the Trey, Hoodie Mello. Black hoodie with the J's, Hoodie Mello. Thunder make me dance in rain, Hoodie Mello. Hoodie Mello, on my Hoodie Mello. Hoodie Mello, on my Hoodie Mello. New season with the Trey, Hoodie Mello. Thunder make me dance in rain, Hoodie Mello. Hoodie Mello, on my 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 Hoodie Mello.
That was Hoodie Mello. Once again, that was Hoodie Mello.
Yeah,
by Sean Lamont. I was over here doing my Hoodie Mello dance.
Hey man, that went, bro. That what? Went.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna shout out to my pops, bro. That
I was out here dancing to that the whole time.
Bang, I was rocking, bro.
Making eye contact too with everybody in the room.
Yes, sir. So I appreciate it.
So, you know, I was lucky enough. Mm-hmm. So I had the privilege to be at one of your shows, and you know, when he was on stage, they put you first.
Yeah, yeah.
And you should have been the closing act of that show. I'm gonna say that straight up. So they put him first, and he got the crowd going, and the next group kinda was just chill. Their music was kind of a little too quiet, and so
yeah.
Kind of lost the crowd, but you know, I have my
how
fun.
They stack that lineup, but you know, you take the opportunities you can get, and you know, you just stay humble and do your thing.
Yeah, man, definitely.
That's all you can do.
You killed it. So we talked about the idea of perseverance, mm-hmm. right? And so this is a question to everybody in the room. So Nick DZ and Jenny, feel free to elaborate. But has that theme occurred in your life where you had to persevere and fight through something, show like your tenacity, you know?
Yeah.
And if so, how? Can y'all think back to that time? In this open floor, so y'all can go ahead and jump in.
Let's hear one that you got.
Me?
Yeah, you're always asking a lot of questions. We need to hear no input.
Man. I mean, I can go first.
Yeah, you go first, because, you know.
All right. So I just talk a little bit about, you know, where I was when I wrote Hoodie Mello. So when I wrote Hoodie Mello, I was coming out of a season that was really, really rough that I had to kind of persevere through. So for those who don't know, at one point in my life, I was a pastor of a local church here in Portland, Oregon for about roughly 4 years or so. And so coming out of that season, kind of transitioning out of that and transitioning into, you know, still social services, but transitioning into being a teacher at a non-traditional high school and, you know, the toll that season of life, I won't even say toll because it wasn't a toll, but the challenges of that season of life, mm-hmm. and all the things that came with, you know, pastoring people was heavy. So there was a lot of perseverance that was a part of that season, but then also coming out of that and kind of transitioning out of that, it's like, this is all I've known for the last 4 years, you know? Mm-hmm. This community of people is all I've known for the last 4 years, and now I'm kind of like starting over, new relationships, new employment, just new, you know, rhythms of life and whatnot, and learning how to like live in a different, you know, a different season, a different sphere of life and influence and whatnot. So definitely a lot of perseverance had to be, you know, tapped into during that time.
Right. It was a common theme for you. It wasn't something new.
Yeah.
Obviously, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Appreciate the perspective. What about you, Jenny?
I think as the female identified person in the room, I think that we are at a unique time in our history as women, or people who identify as women, to have more of an opportunity to have our voices heard in whatever way people are comfortable, especially with the climate that is going on now. Women's rights are still something that we fight for. In many, many, many different ways. And I know that I feel as though I speak for a lot of women in my life that are tired of fighting a fight that we're now having to fight again. And I'm very aware that it's been going on for many decades, for many, many groups of people, centuries. But I think that we have an opportunity to really come together as women and persevere through everything that's going on right now.
And that's a big theme, especially considering who's our president.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
I'm going to take every chance I can.
Oof. Yep.
So, you know, first of all, I appreciate that perspective. I don't get your perspective a lot in my show, and I know that's an area that I'm working on securing a lot better. But I definitely appreciate that. So you talk about persevering as women, right? Somebody who identifies as a woman. And you know, with a society that's kind of it's pretty much male dominant, and it's ridiculous in how many different aspects is male dominant, and the fact that people are still like playing oblivious to that fact kills me. right? Mm-hmm. So how do you navigate through that? And for the young ladies listening to us and young men as well, for us to learn.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting to me is that from, as it relates to my work experience, so I have a background in arts marketing, and I, previous to my current job, was working at an organization, youth arts organization, that was founded by women, that was artistically directed by women, that was developmentally directed by women. And you often, which is really silly to think about, but you oftentimes forget that. Like, mm-hmm. I just remember being at work about this time last year when it occurred to me, like, oh, wow, I'm so fortunate to say that I work at an organization that is not dominated by men, that is run by women mostly. And then it occurred to me that that was a funny feeling to have, because I didn't really think twice about it. And then when I finally did, I was like, oh man, it's weird that that is weird.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now it's less so. Like, I work with incredible people, but there aren't as many women uh-huh. now. Like, the ratio is definitely more towards the males. And I have seen so much power in the young woman that we work with. And I think the thing that is always going to be something that we struggle with is just, it's a constant fight. It's a constant reminder to yourself that you can do these things, that you can have these dreams, and that people will support you in that. And that's weird. It's weird to have to think about you asking for help. But I see it every single day, and I hear it. They tell me, like, it's there. And just grabbing hold of what drives you is going to be the thing that keeps you going.
Definitely. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that because, you know, we have, for a fact, we know that Lania's daughter is listening right now. And that's a little one coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And to me, that's big. You know, a lot of the young ladies, even that I coach, I have two girls' basketball teams, fourth grade and sixth grade teams. And even the language that I use around them, it's always, I'm always like watching it because the playing field is not equal. And you know it. And you see these very helpful young girls who are like ready, to go out there and to learn and to be a part of our education system. And, you know, like, a lot of times I look at them and I'm always like, man, like, I wish, or like, I pray that this world will be a better place for them, you know? And so hearing your perspective definitely brings a lot of peace to me. Now let's switch lanes. Let's go to Nick Dizzy over here. Mr. I flip
like
questions back.
Answer the question.
I know he over here looking kind of quiet today. Usually he talked my ears out.
I don't really got an answer for that right now.
You don't? No. So you want me to go first?
Yeah,
you gonna have an answer after me?
Possibly.
I hope so, because I'm gonna mess with you all day. So for me, perseverance came in many different ways. It's a theme that the same idea. Growing up in an Arabian country and being, you know, the only African kid who went to a school, or you know, like, you understand once you're even if you know, they say, there's the saying, just because somebody's young doesn't mean they don't know much, and just because somebody's old doesn't mean they know everything.
Yeah.
And as a young child, I remember always, like, knowing that certain treatments weren't fair to me, and I would always want to ask why, but I kind of, like, took a step back and I watched my parents navigate through, even though a lot of the times they were the ones discriminated against, or, you know, they were the ones who were, like, right in certain situations.
Yeah.
But the treatment they received and the way people interacted with them was always like, oh, okay. Like, the way they handled things with grace and never took things personally, kind of just believed in the better of people. I think that kind of shaped my perspective. And so, like, In every phase in life, there's always a challenge, right? And I think that's where growth comes from. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of times, like, even in college or high school, where, like, I questioned if I was even worth being there, you know, like, whether it was, like, in college and I'm looking at everybody around me and not a lot of people looked like me or understood certain things that I do. And so there was like a lot of judgment there, and you know, there were certain types of treatments that you received, and you begin to notice them, and then you look at your shortcomings, and you begin to question like whether you're worth these opportunities or whether you have what it takes to make it through those challenges. And then the same token, life always had like the best answer, because no matter what I planned, it never went the way I planned things, but it always ended up being good. Like the outcome always worked out on my, you know, like on my side. So I guess I'm very grateful for that. But yeah, definitely had a lot of times where I had to persevere. There was a lot of challenges. And, you know, and that teaches you how to navigate, you know, through your day-to-day life. And that kind of gives you the freedom to, you know, to kind of, I guess, take lead of your own life and your own destiny in a way. And speaking of freedom, I know you you also have a song named Freedom, right? So let's segment into that real quick.
Okay.
So how did that song come about? How did it come about?
Real quick. So Freedom was a song that was written from the point of view of just a need for freedom, honestly. You know, that's the kind of the underlying theme, but then within that there were kind of a few different ways that I addressed a need for freedom. The first verse is about a need for freedom in your own personal struggles, so like the things that go on inside of you, like realizing that there are things going on inside of you that you need to be free from. Then secondly, it's kind of like a cry for freedom from, you know, just the brokenness of this world, like saying, man, like I need this all to just come to an end, you know, at some point. Not like, you know, not like kamikaze type of mentality, but just realizing like this world is broken, this world is falling, and at some point, like it will all come to an end, and just like hoping that that end comes so that, you know, the life that comes after this can be attained. Right. And then lastly, just addressing, I took an opportunity to kind of address just the need for freedom from inequality, freedom from injustice, freedom from the things that plague our nation right now, especially with just so much racial tension, so much, you know, issues across racial lines, like wanting to just kind of address that, and particularly also like police brutality, things like that too. So you kind of get a kind of a mixed bag when it comes to that topic, but it's all under the underlying theme of freedom.
Okay. Yeah. So we're gonna hear the song Freedom by Sean Lamont, and we'll be back.
Heavy is the head, I scepter in the chalice. Respectively, as long as respective is in balance, my crown secondary to he who gives royalty inheritance. Child of the king of all kings, king of it all. I'm just watching him reign, hope to glean from it all. I just watch in the rain, hug my fleece in the fall. I get lost in the pain, he's redeeming it all for real. I hope we draw close to his coming in, cause life was like the London Bridge. And I've been crumbling, wondering like, do they care? Am I done within? Me and my circle drawing lines like the number 10. And when them numbers send texts, just is someone checking to see if I saw the news on my feed. Doubt rent space in my thoughts, fear just checked it for free. Anxiety vets and begs for a lease. I need freedom. I just really want, I just really need freedom. Put your hands in the air if you know that we really need freedom. I just want to be free. Don't you want to be free? We just really need freedom. Yeah, my heart cries for that far cry, rehearsing through stark fright. Thirst to reach parts heights, the earth full of dark nights. No joker, just highs, take that the ledger. Food of impending doom, many caught, tasting the nectar. Grace to a debtor, I'm caught, chasing the stretcher. Waiting, anticipating, tension, patience, and pressure. I see the picture, though the spirit of the paint. The already, not yet, the perseverance of the saints. Cheering with restraint, seeing that ribbon draw nearer and nearer, you hear it, it's faint, faint. Glory that transcends man's whim, stripes over the lamb's skin, conquer this man's sin. The champ wins, so whether I may weather the storm, I never question, I'm blessed with a great shepherd. Yeah, and so my path is in the pasture, until I'm captured in the rapture. Cause every day I seem to find more grace, in the hairs on my head and my face, in a place where the times grow great. Is it wisdom or angst in the remnants of pain, where I find no trace of alliance? I rush in the silence, apply with a mind on grace. Cause they say racism died, so obliged, but it's still alive. That hatred disguised, why
when the pedal strike. Brush a stroke, flaw, law, with no care, right, right.
Freedom!
I just really want, I just really need.
Freedom!
Put your hands in the air if you know that we really need.
Freedom!
I just wanna be free, don't you wanna be free? We just really need.
Freedom!
Freedom. Oh, you might as well start doing your verse right now. So y'all know Sean prepared y'all a little verse. Are you ready to do it right now?
I can spit a little something right now. You feel me? All right,
we gonna let him flow. We gonna let him spit a little something for us right now.
Man, I feel like a bullseye in a fool's eyes when the tools rise, cause many think I shouldn't be in the vicinity. I charge that matador with bull's eyes with a marksman. Oh, right. Men lie, women lie, fool's pride. Fearful of my scholarship, fool ride where faith meets culture. That's a dual vibe. They weary of the winds of change, and I'm just out here with a kite, like let the spools fly. It's cool, guys. I promise we come in peace. Caravan of believers, we honestly come in fleets on them fury roads. Mad Max racing just to bring you all the melodies of life before that funeral. Sad sack, sheet music of notes, guitar quotes, those rad acts. True sung everywhere. It's a journey, bags packed. Hidden gems like X marks the spot. Wait, let's treasure that. Stories that'll point you to his glory like a treasure map. Let's go.
Yeah. You hear that?
Hot 97, yep. Man.
Hey. They ain't got it like this. But man, so what inspired that verse, man?
The joint
this
I just did?
Verse right now, yeah.
That verse came out of a time where I was doing Football Friday. Well, I'm still doing Football Friday, but I was getting a lot of good looks with Football Friday. And because, you know, I write from the perspective of my faith, it's just kind of like one of those things where I'm like, I'm kind of not like everybody else. And so just kind of feeling like, okay, I'm here and I'm getting the same looks as other people, but maybe they don't understand, or, you know, maybe they look at me kind of a little sideways because it's like, how is this dude who's, you know, coming from the perspective of his faith getting so many looks in this arena? So I just wanted to kind of address that, you know?
Yeah. So that was pretty deep, man.
Yeah.
You know, you're like the very first live.
We're the first freestyle we ever had.
Yeah, you're the very first one, and I think you're the last one.
No, oh my goodness, gonna be anyone to top it. For real.
Goodness, you just shut down the mic.
I don't know what to say.
I mean, man, like that was tight.
Man, y'all far too kind. Far too kind.
It's refreshing, man. It's refreshing to hear the positive. Even the hardships are still spun into something positive, man. And to me, that's what you got to do to make it through today's society, in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
You heard of Johnny Lucas?
Yeah.
Ross Capuccioni story, and he did all them skits and stories.
Yeah, yeah.
That's who you remind me of.
Nah, for sure. I appreciate that, man. That's a good look.
Bro, look him up. He's dope.
He's nice. He got his joint out called. Can I say that?
Yeah, yeah,
he has a joint out called I'm Not Racist.
Uh-huh. That's really, really. I've seen that with the dude with the
it's
red
super
hat.
Thought provoking.
That was pretty deep.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
He's dope. He was on Facebook Live. I think I'm pretty sure it was him. He gave a homeless man like an expensive pair of Jordans just because he knew that he didn't have no shoes and the shoes didn't mean nothing to him. What meant to him is that dude getting them shoes. Yeah.
And that's huge.
And he was like, I'm not getting on here to like get fame for that or get recognition. He's saying that that's a good thing that you gotta do. Right. So I like him.
That's tight. We got about 5 minutes left, so we're gonna take the last inspirational words from each and every one of you before. Okay. That's how I usually end the show.
For sure.
So, you know, to the listeners, what's your the last thing you want to leave them with?
My words of wisdom to everybody is to own your transparency. That's what my art is all about. That's what life is all about, is being honest about who you are, being honest about the places where you struggle, the things that you go through, and learning how to grow from those things and grow through those things. So yeah, own your transparency.
And how can people find you?
On social media, it's Lamott Speaks. So LAMOTT Speaks. And that's Twitter, that's Instagram, that's Facebook. And then on SoundCloud, you can find me at Sean Lamott. That's SHAUNLAMOTT. And the project Fragile that I just dropped last month is out on all digital platforms. So go ahead and pick that up.
Yeah, we're going to put that on our website too. We're going to put it on our page. And Jenny, what would you like to leave our listeners with?
I would like to leave your listeners with the idea that you should find joy in everything you do, and share it with other people. And you have a voice, and you should use it.
Definitely. Deezy?
Go ahead, man. I'm so thankful.
Okay. So for me, I think that, you know, today we addressed a lot of important themes. You know, when it comes to dealing with your own, your internal, you know, grieving and, mm-hmm. and things you went through, right? Facing that.
Yeah.
And then persevering through that, I think, is huge. You know, there is nothing greater than the freedom of discovering oneself. And so yeah. I think that's a big deal. I know Nick Deasy chose an important song to end the episode with today, and that song's by Logic, and it addresses a very it's very heartbreaking, but you know, it's a struggle that we have today that we are failing to address, and that's the idea of mental health.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the song's name is the actual number to the suicide hotline, and so I know, you know, it takes a lot for somebody to decide that their life is not worth living anymore, and that to me breaks my heart.
Yeah,
because there should be a lot of help out there for those people, and so I'm gonna let Nick finish to end today's show, and talk a little bit about that song.
That song to me, man, when I first heard it, I changed the radio station the first few times because I thought I was gonna be trash, but I actually listened to it and I was like, man, this kind of hit me. Like, I was at work when I was listening to it, and it kind of made me want to tear up and stuff, because it's like, growing up seeing depression, anxiety, and everything, it's I know people who are saying that they're gonna kill themselves and that life's too hard, and I'll sit there and I'll talk to a stranger on the street for an hour and know that their mental health got better from talking to me, and they stopped from killing themselves talking to me more than going to hang out with a friend, you know? I want to make sure that I'm not going to be able to stop it on my own, but with helping with change, I want to be able to stop people from committing suicide, taking their life, because they think it's too hard to make it through, because there's always someone that's going to listen to you. Even if it's not a friend or a family member, someone's out there to listen. And this song is called, it's also the number, it's 1-800-273-8255. And this song, it spoke numbers to me.
I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine.
Who can relate?
Woo! I've been on the low. I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. I don't wanna be alive. I don't wanna be alive. I just wanna die today. I just wanna die. Tell you why. All this other shit I'm talking about, they think they know it. I've been praying for somebody to say me, no one's heroic. And my life don't even matter, I know it, I know it. I know I'm hurting deep down, but can't show it. I never had a place to call my own. I never had a home. Ain't nobody calling my phone. Where you been, where you at, what's on your mind? They say every life precious, but nobody care about mine. I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It
feel like my life ain't mine.
Who can relate?
Woo! I've been on a low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. I want you to be alive. I want you to be alive.
You are tuned to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Posada Milagro 2017 on Sunday, December